Look, Matt.
Where? Oh, I see.
My, oh, my.
Bowen, look over there.
Wow, is that culture?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Las Culturistas.
Ding dong, Las Culturistas calling.
How are you feeling?
I'm feeling temperately confused.
Yeah, same.
We were talking about this.
Okay, because our guest arrived in a scarf, and I said, I only came in this, what would you call this, a Henley?
A Henley.
Yeah, that's what it's called.
What's
so
what
you would call it that.
It's your what was his
name? It's a little mask drag.
Well, I was going to say it's the boy Stackhouse in True Blood. You're doing that
Jason
drag.
Stackhouse.
You're doing Jason Stackhouse drag.
Wow, thank you. High praise indeed.
Oh,
thank you
God.
So much. I would say I feel chapped.
Okay.
I don't usually get chapped. I'm extraordinarily chapped. And I have to apologize to all present. I may have to stop and apply chap.
That's fine.
But I'm a human being.
And apply chap.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
But this is a fabulous episode.
Oh my God. What a great episode.
This is going to be so good. Okay, because there's a thespian here.
A true thespian.
And we don't get many thespians rolling through. We get a lot of comedians who act. Okay.
Which is not, when we had a discussion at length about this, a comedian who acts is not necessarily a comedic actor.
No.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Comedic actor, that's where you get your Sandra Bullocks.
That's where you get your Ryan Reynolds.
Your Ryan Reynoldses.
These are the best examples
comedians
you can
who
pull.
Act, that's where you get your, you know, Miss Schumer's.
Yes.
I Feel Pretty coming out.
April 20th.
April 20th. 420.
Yes, 420. Wow. Let's just go through the credits.
Let's just go through the credits.
And I want to go through each one, and I'm telling you, and you guys, I am reciting these from memory.
Okay, because I have them written down,
oh.
But if you have them from memory, okay. I believe I could do them
and
from memory, too,
anything
I'm a fan.
Okay, anything you miss, you just fill in.
Okay, babe.
First of all, he's returning as the host of the Drama Desk Awards for his third time.
For the third time.
He's going to have three outfits, I should say. I'm so
sorry. This is going to be costume changes. It's going to be
whatever.
Like his own concert.
Semantics. So he's returning for that. He's nominated for a Lucille Lortel Award.
Oh, baby.
For Torch Song, which is coming to Broadway this November.
Yes, the Helen Hayes Theater,
Helen
honey.
Helen Hayes Theater, honey. Oh, my God. And also, he's just...
By the way, you know what played at the Helen Hayes?
What played?
Xanadu.
Mm-hmm. It did! Which was a formative...
It's been graced by many a brilliant performance.
Oh, my God. Oh, I fucking... We gotta talk about Xanadu in a second.
I love it.
Okay. You're so right. I still have my play ball.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Oh my God.
Remember when it started and Cheyenne Jackson was kneeling on the stage doing whatever he was
doing?
That
was
I was
fun,
like,
right?
This is good. This is an interesting way to start the program.
And I loved it when Jackie Hoffman and Marie Testa came out and just belted in everyone's faces.
Marie Testa. It's Rule of Culture number 17.
Marie Testa.
Jackie Hoffman,
period.
you've heard us talk about Jackie.
We love Jackie.
We love you, Jackie. You don't know who the fuck we are.
Torch Song coming to Helen Hayes Theater.
Yes, honey.
You've seen him, you've also seen him on stage. Hamlet for the Shakespeare Theater Company, The Government Inspector. He just finished directing the amazing show Bright Colors and Bold Patterns.
Yeah, starring two nightmares.
Nightmares, Drew Drogie
and Jeff Hiller. Who's
terrible.
Really, they're both just handfuls.
And yeah, you've seen him on film and TV.
Oh, come on.
Come on.
You know the big credit.
The big credit.
Ms. Ugly
Ms.
Betty.
Ms. Ugly Betty. You've got Younger. We've got The Good Wife.
Come
and
on.
Who can forget his star turn? As Sebastian the Pug in Beverly Hills Chihuahua.
He was so gagged to say that to you.
I was like, I really hope Michael thinks that's funny. Okay.
He did.
Okay, and please, wait, do you have anything? Did I miss anything?
No, bitch!
Okay, here we go. Please welcome
Michael Urie!
Hi.
Sebastian
was originally named Liberace.
What?
What happened with that?
I guess it was too gay.
No,
damn.
Come on. This is Erasure.
This is Erasure.
Let
Liberace
that dog
Erasure.
Have its gay name.
And as you remember, in the movie, he wore this like gold lamé suit.
Oh. Yes.
He was very gay.
He was so gay. Like, why hide it?
And okay. He had a birthday party.
Right.
And it was a birthday party. And then...
The dog had an event.
Guess what happened?
What?
When they made Beverly Hills Chihuahua Part 2.
What?
They killed him?
No. I...
wow, that's a jump.
Run over by a truck.
Run over
no,
a truck.
I passed because I'm an idiot.
No!
Did it make a lot of money, the second one? Yes.
I'm sure it made money. I mean, I didn't make any money off. It was a very, you know, it wasn't like a Pixar movie.
Right.
It wasn't that much money to begin with, but why wouldn't I do that? Literally, the first movie took me 3 hours.
Oh. What was the reason for passing?
Because I'm stupid.
No.
My representative told me to. She was like, my representative was like, I love her, so, and I'm still with her, so I don't want to begrudge
bless,
her. But I this is something that I think she was wrong about. She was
it's good to have that relationship.
She was like she's British. She was like, only George Lopez is returning.
Oh, oh my God! And she managed to shade George Lopez process.
And like, by the way, George Lopez is a big star.
He's a huge star. A lot of people love J-Lo.
Stop.
The other J-Lo.
He's worth the price of admission alone. J-Lo. Go ahead.
Guess who fucking replaced me?
No.
Who?
SpongeBob SquarePants.
Oh.
The guy who does the voice of SpongeBob SquarePants. The guy who does
that. Oh, that. How did that make you feel?
It's bad. Low.
Very sorry.
Silly. Like, why would I? That job was good enough for famed voice actor whose name I don't know who does SpongeBob.
Yeah, I know. I know.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. Well, anyway, hey.
That's why I never pass on franchises.
Never pass on franchises.
I never pass on franchises.
Why would I not do it? It was straight to video back when there was video.
Oh,
right.
But so who fucking cares? Yeah, it felt like my voice acting career took off after that, and I was...
You will get your voice acting break yet.
Yes.
Post Beverly Hills Chihuahua.
I was watching actually the
way post.
Do you remember when they did like Shrek 17?
Yes. Yeah.
And like all the ladies were in it. Like Maya Rudolph was in it. Amy Sedaris was in it. Like there was like all of them. And they were all being interviewed at once. And the interviewer just goes, so what did you learn doing this movie?
No.
And Amy Sedaris, without missing a beat, goes, that there's money in voiceover.
Fun.
And then they all cracked up and they were just like, it looked really fun.
There you go.
It almost made me see the movie, but it was like the 19th Shrek.
There's a lot of Shreks.
After Shrek 2, I was like, okay.
But wasn't Shrek 2, if I remember correctly, like brilliant?
It was great.
Was like Shrek 2, Shrek was like, yay, Shrek. And then Shrek 2 was like,
oh my God.
It gave Rupert Everett a gig. He played
it
the prince.
It gave Rupert Everett a gig.
Mm. And then
Antonio Banderas.
He was Puss in Boots.
Wasn't that?
Yeah.
And then who played the fairy godmother?
Oh, no. I can't believe I know that.
She was an Ab Fab. You know who I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
Jennifer Egan.
No, she's a novelist.
Daisy Egan.
Something. Nope.
Jennifer Flowers.
Oh, Culturistas. You'll know.
Jennifer Flowers.
She was fabulous. Holding Out for a Hero. That was a great movie.
Shrek 2 is good.
Shrek 2 was great.
Great.
Here's the thing. My thing with animated movies always is if they're not musicals, I can't fully love them. Mm. I love a good animated
not
musical.
A musical.
Well, no. I mean, like, there was like the Duloc song, which I think I rewinded a million times. See, I told you.
I'm taking off my sweater. I'm sorry.
He's taking off his sweater because the temperature is confusing. It's temperately confusing.
Michael's taking off his sweater. Do you regret the scarf from earlier or no?
No, because it looked good.
No, it was cold outside.
Yeah.
Although it wasn't cold in the subway, you know.
No, it's so hot.
And the MTA is. Is a disaster.
Disaster.
It's crazy.
They like put heat on.
No, it's they. On? No one gets it. No, it's actually Real Culture number 56.
No one gets it.
But we're talking about the MTA now.
Right.
But I am off the best train in the city.
Which one?
The 7. The 7, babe.
That's debatable.
Really reliable?
It is the dream.
But unless you're going to someplace on 42nd Street, you have to transfer.
Right.
Well, that is true. But then you can at least have your pick of which one you transfer. So anyone that ends up on the
C. You can get to anything.
Really. I mean, like, I think the second best train is the 1-2-3, or that line. The 2-3, whoo, baby.
Yeah, that one moves.
You are flying through the city, the metropolitan area.
It's so interesting to hear you speak in these terms, because I live right by here. I'm by any train.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I just think of all trains as equal. I don't do this sort of favoritism thing.
I'm telling you.
Do you find that the trains are all working poorly lately?
They're all working poorly. Everyone today in particular
being an asshole.
Was being an asshole.
Yeah.
And I don't want to get into it. They're not worth the time.
They're not worth it, hon.
Look,
listen.
Everyone's tired of the MTA being a disaster.
So tired.
Well, Cynthia Nixon. Okay. Wait, are we voting for Cynthia? I think I'm voting for Cynthia.
I'm not registered in New York. I don't know. I can't do it.
I think I might. It's hard. It's hard because it's like of all the people I want to see taken out of office, it's like Cuomo's not really one of them.
I know, right. And this is the option that we're presented.
Yeah, and I'm like, really? I mean, I'd love to get behind her, but I'm not entirely sure that that's a...
Yeah.
That's fair.
That's a fight that needed to be fought, although the MTA is a total disaster.
It's really
fucked
up. And
there seems to be quite a bit of corruption up there, too.
Yes,
but like,
she today posted, a lot of people have been asking me about my views on marijuana. Legalize it. And I was like,
yeah!
Cynthia!
Did you see that John Boehner? former speaker of the house John Boehner. He's now on the board of directors for this marijuana company. This company that's advocating for legalization of marijuana.
Wow.
Yes, and I have a theory about this because he's already been on the boards of a lot of tobacco companies or big tobacco, one of the tobacco companies. And I think that they want it legalized.
They
I think the tobacco companies want to legalize and manufacture marijuana cigarettes.
Because they see dollar signs.
And I'm all about it.
I'm all about it too. I mean, truly.
Not the cigarettes. Cigarettes are bad, but marijuana cigarettes sound
No,
great.
Come on. I think that it's Regardless. Time.
And sometimes in Colorado at the dispensaries,
oh, right.
Yeah,
they wrap them in fun little conical shapes, and it's gorgeous.
What is a conical
oh,
shape?
I know exactly what you mean. Right? Like a little cone.
Like a little hand, yeah. Like a maki
oh,
roll
okay.
at sushi restaurant.
Lovely. Yes.
It's gorgeous.
So you can get the aesthetic vibe.
Yes.
I see.
I'm going to California next week.
Lovely. Oh, lucky boy.
And I haven't been since it was like...
Legal?
Fully legal.
Yeah.
It's
going
to be weird.
That's fun. Dispensaries are interesting. It's like everyone is very... Everyone's still... the ethos is still like...
Shady.
We're doing something
right.
Illegal.
Bad.
Yeah.
But it's like, no, this we're fine.
That makes it sexier, though, as we know.
I don't know.
I lived out there. I got a prescription from some shady doctor. He was like, well... You know, it was clear that that's the only reason he went.
Yeah.
And he was old. He was like an old... It was like Howard Hessman from... remember Howard Hessman from WKRP?
Wait, no.
And he was
Describe
head
him.
Of the class.
Oh, no. Wait.
And he was
we
in
them.
Clue. He's the cop at the end of Clue.
Oh, sure. Yes.
He was your doctor?
No, he looked like him, bitch.
He would play him, but it would be like him now. Okay, maybe that wasn't a good example.
No, that's great. I get it.
It was a perfect example because we had that misunderstanding.
I'm an idiot. I'm sorry.
So I loved it. I loved making him like a fool.
As my doctor.
Yes.
Gorgeous.
The pot guy. And he was like, he was like, so what's wrong? And I was like, I get really bad headaches. Mm-hmm. And he's like, can't give it to you for headaches. And I was like, fuck.
Damn. Really?
So I was like, I also get canker sores.
And he said you can get it for canker sores?
Okay. And yeah, he gave it to me for canker sores.
Get them all the time, bitch.
That's me too. I really... Does weed help for canker sores?
No.
Right? I was going to say.
I mean, it makes you forget, maybe.
Yeah, but, right.
So you guys get canker sores all the time?
I get them
all the time.
All the time. Do you?
All.
Is it a stress thing?
All the time. No, I don't think so. Because I get them when I'm not stressed. I think the stress doesn't help.
Doesn't help.
But for me, it's whenever, ever I bite myself.
Damn. Oh, every time, Michael.
It becomes a canker sore. And a bad one, and it lasts a week.
See, and I
a
think...
A week.
Yeah, it's bad, and they're very painful.
Very painful.
You know what helps me? And I've been saying this on this podcast, because actually there was like a 3-week period where I had them and they wouldn't go away. I just go to Rite Aid or Duane Reade and get the canker cover.
Mm.
It's like, it looks like a little mint, and you just put it on there.
I've done that.
I know it's like store. They didn't work for you?
It did work. It did help the pain, but then you have to like be careful around it.
Here's what you
depending on where it is. If it's by the teeth.
Look, right. I'm not saying it's perfect. I'm just saying it's helped more than anything else.
No.
And the gargling of salt water is a no.
Here's what you do. Everyone, I want you to listen very carefully.
Okay.
Go to Chinatown. You go up to the rude, aloof
person
who's working the counter.
The rude, aloof person.
At a shady-ass Chinatown pharmacy. I can say this as a Chinese person.
Yeah.
But you ask for watermelon frost, and maybe the person behind the counter is going to say, I don't know what you're talking about, but you have to insist on watermelon frost. And by the third time, I guarantee... They will sort of concede, and they'll be like, okay, let me go get it from the back. It's this little powder puff. It's the most bitter, disgusting herbal powder. But you put it on the affected area. By the next day, it will begin healing. It will begin sort of assembling.
Are you kidding me?
I have boxes of it at home. I'll just come up and ask me.
I have a
me.
Question. Why do they not want to give it to you the first two times?
It's illegal.
It's not illegal. I think they're just being. They just recognize that as a place where they recognize their position of power, and they want to sort of. Live in that space for a little bit.
I mean, I definitely.
Is it expensive?
No, it's like $2. So get that. I promise you, it works every time. I swear by it. I want to talk about.
Okay. No, you don't want to talk about canker sores anymore.
I was just going
to
say. I just want
to
say for everyone at home who tuned out before,
or
maybe like went to go leave the room to do something and is now rejoining us. I don't think marijuana helps for canker sores because for me it makes me more sensitive. Like when I smoke, I get all my senses get heightened. And so that means when something is bothering me, like if I have like a stiff neck or something and I smoke weed, it actually makes it worse.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe that's just for me.
I'm the same way. Did I tell you about this? I told you about this. My
tell
sister
me again.
This weekend texted me a picture of a used cartridge.
Oh, she found them.
Well, my mom found it in the laundry when I went home.
Like he's 14 years
a
old.
A used vape cartridge?
I used vape cartridge that I brought to the mountains. I went home and visited my parents, but then I also spent a little fun mountain weekend with some friends in Breckenridge. And then we went to a dispensary there, and then I bought a new cartridge, and I dumped the old one, but I just shoved it in a pocket, I think.
Yeah.
My mom found it, and, like, I had brought up weed before to them, and I was like, so, Mom and Dad, like, do people smoke weed in China? And they were like, yes, of course, but they're terrible, terrible people. You should never smoke weed.
Only do strawberry frost.
They do strawberry frost! And so I was like, okay, I can't let them know that this is something that I do.
But you've been found out.
I've been found out, but I think with my sister and her kid and my brother-in-law there, like, it was, like, that was a mediating for, I don't know what my sister told them, but I get a text from my dad that was just like, don't ever do drugs, your life will be ruined. And it does feel like I'm 14 again.
Wow.
But anyway,
Because we all have roots, I don't know, when you were in school, did they do the DARE program with you?
Yeah.
Okay, so that was the worst thing ever.
Sure.
Yeah.
Because they said, there are three drugs. Marijuana, heroin, and cocaine.
Oh,
and
God,
they all could kill you.
Right,
it was
right.
Like that basic.
Yeah.
So now I really do believe in, like, generations. It's like embedded that it's this, like, evil, horrible thing.
Sure.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. You know, hearing false information over and over again sinks in.
Yes, it does.
Terrible.
As we have learned in government.
Oh, my God. Wait, I want to genuinely know this, Michael.
Yeah. I voted for Hillary.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Great. Thanks. Moving on. So ugly, petty.
Have you ever used an understudy before on stage?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, great. What, like, and like, what is like the threshold for just being like, okay, I can't do this?
It's,
canker sore.
Knock on wood.
I will tell you, a canker sore can really make it hard to act.
Of course.
I didn't go on stage one time when I had one.
Are you serious?
I called out of a show. I was like, I can't talk. I couldn't talk.
Damn.
It was Characters Welcome at UCB. I was like, I'm sorry, guys, I can't perform.
I believe you.
Yeah.
I did a one-man play where I spoke for 100 minutes.
Ugh.
And I, if I had a canker sore, I would have to adjust everything. I would like suddenly have a lisp because I had to adjust the way that I spoke to avoid biting my canker sore.
Because do you get a whole mouthful of them?
I will sometimes, it doesn't like happen quite like that where I get a lot at a time.
Yeah, me neither. I do. They're all over.
I think it's a vitamin deficiency. You should take vitamins.
I'll get one. Mine almost always come from biting myself.
I'll
bite myself, and then I'll have to adjust the way I eat, and I'll bite myself on the other side.
Because you're excited when you eat.
Because I get really excited. I eat very quickly, and I get excited. And if I'm talking while I'm eating,
it's 100%.
Disgusting. But no, I never missed a show for a canker sore. Not that I know. I mean,
not that
I
you're
understand.
Judging.
I understand. Right. I've wanted to.
Yeah, it's bad.
I've only ever missed a show for another job.
Oh, that's
fine. That paid me more.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
And people understand that.
But I've gone on with, you know, I've gone on with sinus infection. I've gone on with like strep throat. I've gone on with
shingles. I don't know.
One leg.
Shingles
One
is leg. Back. You know, shingles is back.
Shingles is hot now.
Shingles is back and making it's a big back. Hot return.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When it was when Lin-Manuel got it that I was like, it's back.
Damn. Lin-Manuel got it and everyone's like, how do I get shingles? Everyone was on the phone with their agent.
Herpes zoster.
Can I get shingles?
That's what they say. That's okay. Well, then
how do I get in the room with shingles?
Oh my God. How do we get in the
room? How do I get in the room where it happened?
Shingles.
But I,
that's admirable.
I also did it with one time the one man play I did with food poisoning.
Oh, was that Buyer and Seller?
Buyer and Seller in London. I did Buyer and Seller in London for 2 months and got food poisoning twice.
Oh my God. No.
And I finally went to a doctor because it's actually really tricky to see a doctor there. I mean, anybody can see a doctor, but you might have to wait for a long time. It's like, so I kept saying, should I go to the doctor? And they're like, don't bother. It's not worth it. And then after I got sick again, the theater was like, okay, we'll send you to a doctor. And they paid for like a, you know.
Nice.
Which apparently is really expensive.
Oh.
It's like doubly expensive if you pay for like a doctor because it's free.
Yeah.
To see a doctor.
Right, right.
And the guy was like, he said 95% of restaurants in London are dirty.
Oh.
You know, London, not beloved for its restaurants or its food.
Yeah.
Not to shade
the city of London. Love yeah. it. Beautiful, gorgeous. Well loved for many other things.
Oh, sure. But that's but why the they food, fry things. That's why they fry things to kill all the bacteria.
Yeah.
No kidding.
No, the food is troublesome.
But apparently, I think that's, I mean, what do I know? But you know how, like.
A lot. A lot. Hey, you know a lot.
You don't give yourself enough credit.
You know so much.
You know how they have a lot of different flavors of crisps?
Yes, chips. Yes.
They're chips. Yeah. They have so many.
Right.
Many types of chips. I mean, I guess we do too, but they have, like, it's really, it's a huge snack there. Mm. And it's because after the war, during the war, when they couldn't get any food, all they got was potatoes.
Oh.
They got creative with potatoes. And so everybody has a taste for it.
Oh my God.
Crafty queens.
It was 1947 where they were like, yeah. Zesty crab.
Yeah, exactly.
Chip. I don't know.
And that's why roast beef and
zesty
and
crab.
And yeah. And that's why I think that's why their food, their tastes are like that.
Yes,
like that's why
yes.
they have bangers and mash and they have English breakfast. It's all like very salty and blood sausage and
yeah. And, I went there one time and I've only been to Europe once, but when we were there, I think I had like fish and chips,
yeah, mm-hmm.
which like you can totally get anywhere. So I kind of wasted the opportunity,
it's a novelty.
It's a novelty.
Like, when I'm there, I like a nice pot pie. Oh.
Yes. Meat pie, you
know.
Baby.
Oh, I don't know. I get it in my head because then I think of Sweeney Todd and my brain goes somewhere crazy. That it might be people. Or no, it's you know what I mean. It's
a
just
rat.
Like, yeah, like something could be in there. It's like
I saw a guy with a rat on his, two rats on his shoulders.
No, fuck no.
On 8th Avenue and like 50th Street. And
that's
they were,
very 8th Avenue and 50th
I
Street
guess
of him.
So. And they were dyed pink.
Oh, that's cute.
Shut up.
Big New York City rats.
Damn,
big
okay.
rats.
Never mind.
Ew.
That are his pets. And I wouldn't have even noticed it except for I saw some guy walk over to him kind of like cautiously. And I heard him say, are those rats?
He was like, why, yes.
And the guy said, yeah, they're rats.
Oh my God.
Serving rat.
Michael, for Drama Desk, you should have two rats perched on your shoulder.
And be like, I saw this on 8th Avenue and 50th Street. Our next presenter is Laura Bell Bundy. And
that's
one
gorgeous.
Of the rats.
I don't want you to tease your looks at all.
Yeah, don't.
What do you have? What do you have? Like what's, what goes
Is there
in,
any
what goes
extravagance that's going to be happening?
Well, I'm so glad you asked. So every year I've started the show with like a movie. You know, like
very, very crystal of you.
Yes. Like, yeah. Billy, you know, like, yeah. like you do at award
you
shows,
like you do.
But, at the Drama Desk is, you know, it's not certainly no Tony Awards, but,
that's
it's
okay.
not, it's not on TV yeah. and there's no real budget.
You can stream it.
You can stream it on Theatermania. Very good.
Great.
Theatermania.
But they're always like, and we have performances from shows, but it's really more like a concert. You know, we don't have set changes and things like that. It's really more like a concert. So, you know, they're always like, what do you want to sing? You want to sing something? And I'm not a singer. And they're like, well, what about like a monologue or like, what kind of thing could you do? And I'm like, this is a show for people who make theater. Mm. We're not going to impress them
with theater,
with anything.
Yeah, anything on the stage.
Yeah. The only thing that we can impress them with is if we do it better, you know, like, there's no way I'm going to do anything on this stage with one day of rehearsal better than they have with their show that they've spent 5 years on to put up. So it just doesn't make any sense that I would ever sing or perform in front of this audience. So I asked to do this movie. I asked to open with a movie because I thought it doesn't have to be that good to impress them because it's a movie. And we're going to do that again. We're trying
That's
to figure
great.
Out what it's going to be.
Amazing.
The first year it was me on a city bike biking through the theater district and biking by like all the theaters and and different nominees, and it was crazy. I saw all these people: Jesse Tyler Ferguson and Danielle Brooks and Chris Fitzgerald. Georgia Engel. I biked by Georgia.
Oh my God!
Wow. In the lobby at the Signature Theater, and I circled her.
That's amazing.
That's
on a city bike. It was so much fun. And then I go all the way downtown, and I go by the Labyrinth, and I saw Daphne Rubin Vega, and then I run into Mary Testa.
Come on, Mary!
Allison Fraser in front of the public because they were nominated for a show at the public, and they're all dressed up and they're like, "Aren't you hosting the Drama Desk Awards?" And I'm like, "Yeah." Yeah. And she's like, "They're right now. We're late." And I'm like, "Oh my God!
Yeah,
that's fun though."
And then I bike back past all the places,
and then you came in from the back.
And then I came in from this. We couldn't figure that out. So I came. You see me. Then you see me backstage at Town Hall. I come all the way through Midtown. I'm right back into the, and you're back and forth. Backstage at Town Hall. And then I came out onto the stage.
I like that.
And then last year, I was like running around the theater district, not running into people, but just talking about the shows. And I get hit by, it was going to be a bus, but then somebody ran over somebody in Times Square. So we had to change it. And it became, this giant sign. There's a shot of like Times Square and you see them putting up a sign of me doing the Drama Desk Awards. And then later, I'm like running around Times Square and the sign has detached and swings through and hits me.
That's fun.
And then I wake up and I've been in a coma and I wake up and I don't know who I am.
And
Judith Light plays my doctor.
Wonderful.
And Danny DeVito plays my agent. And
A-list talent.
And then A-list. And then George Takei is there and I'm like, who are you supposed to be? And he's like, I'm George Takei. So stupid. And then they're like, you gotta host the Drama Desk Awards there tonight.
Oh man.
And then George Takei was like, I'll get you there. And he pushes me through like on in a wheelchair, and then he pushed me on stage. He was there live amazing. On the night. George Takei. Sweet George Takei.
George was
so
in
what's
on the bet.
What's
so
the
I don't
crowd,
know what this year will be.
Well, there's time.
I think let's pitch something right now.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Okay, Michael, you're a Today Ticks sort of ambassador. You're waiting outside the theater with like an envelope.
Yeah.
You're like, I'm waiting for, and then you look it down at your iPad and it's who? But
Matthew Morrison.
Matthew
honey.
Morrison.
And he says, hey, I think that's for me. And you say, I don't know who you are. And he says, let me tell you who I am. And he does a whole number about how he's Matthew Morrison. And the whole number is just a list of his credits.
Yes.
And you say, get the hell out of here. You're not hosting. I am Michael Urie.
And then Matthew Morrison's like,
and then he's like,
oh my God,
they're right now.
And then how do I get there?
You walk in.
You walk.
Because little do we know, we're in front of the theater. And like everyone's like, you're like, excuse me, I'm Michael Urie, I'm hosting.
And then I'm wearing the Today Ticks scarf.
Right. And then it's a whole Today Ticks bit. Look, take it or leave it.
Take it or leave it.
Leave it.
I'll take it.
Take it.
I'm committed. That's what we're going to do.
Just so you know, it's a first pass. Look, I understand that by proxy of you being here, we are hired to write for the show. So let us continue to think of more ideas.
You get one day of rehearsal?
Well, you know, we're only in the theater for one day, you know. And you know, if you really want to do something that is funny and works, you don't want to just like throw it up. You know, you only have one try to do it. It doesn't want to. Anything that like has a margin of error that where it might not work, I don't think is worth doing.
Thank you.
For this. I mean, you know, that's not the case. You know,
right.
You're doing eight shows a week. Sure. But like when it's one night.
Yeah, you got to get it right. What's the crowd like?
They're awesome.
Great. Are they awesome?
They're awesome. Yeah.
They're not like the other people.
No. They're really, really awesome. But they, you know, they're ahead of you. From the beginning, because they're very clever people. So that's why you can't really. It's not like putting on a play. It has to be putting on an award show.
Different art form.
Yeah.
Totally different art form.
It is.
Especially Rule of Culture number 72. Award shows,
different art form than a play.
17 was Mary Testa, right?
Yeah. Good memory. We don't remember anything we say after we say it.
I butchered the inflection. I called her Marie Testa.
You
so
did
sorry.
Say Marie.
Oh, my memory failed me.
I actually thought it was Murray. You said Murray Testa.
Murray Testa. Coming to the stage.
But Mary Testa was in The Government Inspector, the play I did last summer.
What was she like?
I gotta tell you, she was in the first off-Broadway show I ever saw, A New Brain at Lincoln Center in 1999.
Yes,
and I remember it well.
And she was, did you see it?
No. The year
of our Lord.
It was the year of our Lord.
Yes.
And it was Malcolm Goetz and Chip Zion and
Chip.
Kristen Chenoweth and Norm Lewis and Mary Testa and Penny Fuller, and it was a crazy cast.
First off Broadway show. Amazing.
And it was my first off Broadway show. We saw it at the Mitzi Newhouse downstairs at Lincoln Center, and it was totally brilliant. So then Mary Testa was in Xanadu, and then I saw her. I've seen her in a ton of other things, and I guess I got to know her Well, and then when I got to know her through the through this video we made 2 years ago, I was nervous because she's she could be you never know because she plays tough characters.
She sure does.
And she's just she loves the work and she loves to laugh and she loves actors and she is so imaginative and she and we and in the government inspector she was so clever and she had such good ideas and was totally brilliant and has won an award already for it. I can't remember the name of the award, some Actors Equity Award. And she would say things like, she was like, I have this idea and I don't know what it is. And she would like sort of explain it to you. And she's like, I don't know. But usually when I have ideas like that, they work. It was like the way she had the idea.
My instincts
like,
are perfect. How do I say this?
Sometimes I have ideas that are brilliant.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And she had one. This is, remember when, so she played the mayor's wife. And I played this guy who comes in and like screws up the town. And then leaves. And Michael McGraw played the mayor, and she played the mayor's wife. And remember when Melania kept slapping away Trump's hand?
Yes,
yes.
So she had this idea that we would put that into the show. And there's this part where I'm like saying goodbye, and it's very silly play and very funny. And I'm saying goodbye, and we're all looking out, standing very still. And she's like, I think if we hold for a second, and he reaches for my hand, and I smack it, it will seem like Melania and Trump. And it
killed.
I mean, yeah, stopped the show.
Yeah.
Wow.
For about a week. And then it got old because that chaos dumpster fire of a presidency.
Yeah.
People. It just moves on. Things you can't really.
You can't joke about it anymore, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I mean, it's interesting. Like,
but while it was relevant, it was
killer.
Probably the best joke in the show.
Yeah.
But that's so fucked up that all the turnover rate is just literally a week before there's a collective amnesia.
It's a couple days now.
And people are just like, what? Oh, yeah. That happened?
Think about the news cycle just today, right?
Yeah,
finding out what's going down, that they were looking for Access Hollywood specific stuff when they were raiding him. The shit with Paul Ryan now saying he's going to like retire. Oh, like, no one will care in 3 days.
Yeah.
It's a three day everyday news cycle.
Yeah.
Crazy. I want to talk.
Wait, hold on. Wait, because while you're talking about Mary Testa and strong theatrical women, I thought of something else, which is, and this would be the true gag, which is that Patti LuPone played your mother on Ugly Betty.
Yes.
Okay.
That's true.
Explain this. What's the day like where you know that Patty is going to come?
Well, first of all, can I just tell you that other people that they talked about, the list.
Okay, yeah.
She was always on the list. I don't know who they went to and when, but like when the idea that I was going to have a mother came up, I was like, who is going to play it? And he's like, well, the list is.
Spill all tea.
And it was like Kathy Bates.
Oh my gosh.
And then it was Patti LuPone. And at one point, there was Jane Curtin.
Ooh.
Tyne Daly.
I mean, that would have made sense. But yeah. I just remember being like, I am the luckiest guy. Because it was like the show was really
huge.
Popular. Yes. And so we really could get... I mean, it was like when I was a kid watching sitcoms, which is what I did. You know, I watched a lot of sitcoms when I was a kid. Was always interesting. It was always interesting. Like, oh my God, Carol Burnett plays Helen Hunt's mother on Mad About You, and like those relationships were always so fun to see who comes. You know, Debbie Reynolds playing Deborah Messing's mother on Will and Grace. Like, and all the parents on Seinfeld. It was just so funny,
amazing.
Who would end up? You know, it was always so interesting, or could be a misfire. It's like, why is Marlo Thomas playing the mother? You know, it's like suddenly it doesn't make sense anymore. And so I was so excited and the three names that came my way were just so crazy. But anyway, Patti LuPone, of course.
Jeez.
Was a really good get. And she was so cool and so imaginative and fun and a pro. And you know, we were really good on that set because we all got along really, really well, the whole cast of that show. And we also loved actors. And so when guest stars would come on, we knew how to treat them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To make them you know, have a good time on and off camera. We knew right. like we knew how to like showcase them and also you know, celebrate them
totally
and shoot. And you know, we would watch videos of her. We were like, Patty, remember when
oh
you did
my
this
gosh. Show?
And it was so, and we all loved her. And then when she did Gypsy, I think when she did Gypsy at, before she did it on Broadway, she did it at Encores. Mm. And I think we, like some of us flew in for it. Because we were, at that time we were shooting in LA.
Right.
And we all flew in for it because we loved her so much.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you saw the episode, but at the end, it has an unhappy ending. Mm. She finds out I'm gay. I was in the closet and she finds out I'm gay and she leaves.
Wow.
And she never came back. Which was
the character never got resolution.
Never got resolution.
That's, wow.
Which is like, which is pretty bold for a show.
Well,
way back then.
Yeah, no, for sure.
I mean, that was over 10 years ago now.
Right.
And that we were telling that story then. I mean, on a show like that, I guess more like on a show like, because I guess, you know, sad gay people stories was nothing new at that point. But on a show like
on a
that,
network
where,
show.
Where everything got resolved.
Yeah, like, that was nice kind of like boat. A happy, positive show.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, it was soapy, but that was just by nature of like where it came from. But that I remember always being pretty upbeat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was silly. It was whimsical.
Yeah. I was a fan of it.
Oh,
I mean, and I then that. Because I actually from a young age, like always felt like, I think this is inherent in every gay man, like just a pull towards Vanessa Williams that I can't describe.
Yes, right, right.
But like, and it's so funny because whenever the children have forgotten about Vanessa Williams,
she reminds
she
them.
She comes back in.
She does.
She does.
She knows
she
how to make
stays in the consciousness. Like when she came back and was on Desperate Housewives and was like, there's a new housewife in town.
You
I
remember.
Was like, yes! Yeah, 100%. She was just guest judging on RuPaul's Drag Race, which you also have in common with
yes.
with her.
Yes.
We have to know about that.
That is a really cool thing.
Yes!
That is a
goals,
real...
And
I was...
As the kids say.
I was... it was Snatch Game.
You were...
I was on.
And it was Max...
Season 7 Snatch Game.
It was Max sort of undoing her corset
yes.
and just sort of singing
all right, so,
a little
very
bit.
Very good memory. Yes,
yeah.
That's right. And it was... what's her name as Little Richard?
Kennedy Davenport.
Kennedy Davenport as Little Richard, and Adele and Katya was
Susie Orman.
Susie Orman.
Oh. Such a good episode.
Okay, so
it
take
was
us
such
through
a good episode.
Take us through when you're so because you were actually doing the Snatch Game, like you were one of the.
I was one of the contestants.
Right, yes. You were a contestant on Snatch Game, and then you went and guest judged.
Correct.
So what happens when
it was
they're
2 days?
Okay,
I was there for 2 days.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry. What was your question?
No, no, no.
Sorry.
Take us through it.
I was there for 2 days, and the first day was Snatch Game, and Rue is dressed as Paul, you know, is dressed as a man that day, and he had. Well, I don't want to spoil too much, but
Rue
like,
is dressed as
no,
Paul.
Spill the tea.
Rue
is
dressed as
Paul.
Rue's dressed as a boy.
Yeah,
as you know, not in drag.
Yeah,
right.
But I just like
was
the way
RuPaul
that you
Charles.
Phrased that. Yeah.
He was RuPaul Charles
was
and
dressed
not
as Paul
and not RuPaul supermodel of the
yeah,
world.
Yeah,
and they're all there, and there were real. There's like the energy.
Oh my god.
You know, obviously, what you see is this cut version.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
And the energy in the room was everyone's doing this character at the same time.
Yeah.
They're doing their characters at the same time. So there's so much craziness happening. Like, if you just watch, you know, they're all in character all the time, mm-hmm. except for that at that moment when Max.
Yes.
Stopped. That was the only time when anybody, like, broke character.
Well, I got to ask.
From the moment I walked in.
Wow.
Oh my God.
I think they were there and then they brought me in. And so I walked around the corner and suddenly there's all these queens in like their own little world.
You're in the Snatch Game. Oh my God. Yeah.
And they were so funny and so brilliant. And then sometimes not. You know, that was
right.
also like,
part
they,
of it.
Like, cause they were riffing. They,
right.
You know, it's not like a real match game where you got writers.
Yeah.
Right.
They don't have writers.
It was, totally. They were improvising.
Well, that moment where Max sort of, because I'm talking about like on the runway when she's
yes,
sort
that's
of,
right. That was on the runway.
Right.
That's right.
But even then, like, was that a moment that was just like, oh, like the producer sort of snuck this moment in that was supposed to be off? Or was that just like truly a bizarre moment where everyone's like, what's going on?
It was a bizarre moment where everyone's like, what's going on?
Oh,
it was like,
man.
I mean, where I'm like looking at people and.
We love Max, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Max is great. Max, I mean, that it was shocking because
that's right. It was on the runway. Right?
Yeah, it was on the runway later. But it was shocking because Max had been so kind of like stoic and strong the whole time, and then to see that was like truly bizarre. And you could tell they didn't know how to edit it either. They were like, "This weird thing happened." Yeah. Well, I guess we'll react to it.
And what was weird was that Max wouldn't really say anything. It wasn't like Max was trying to steal the moment, which would have been interesting.
Right.
It was like, Max was just, I think Max really was sick or something.
Yeah.
Didn't eat or, you know, I mean, he's so skinny. He probably just hadn't eaten.
So you're there the first day to watch the Snatch Game. And the other guest judge is Tamar?
Yeah.
Tamar Braxton. Come on.
Yeah.
All right. So that's
very cool.
That's a whole thing in and of itself. But okay. So then you go back the second day and that's when you see RuPaul as...
Oh, in her glory. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
What is that like?
Well, it's, you know, I mean, there's not really a reveal. Like there she is. You walk in. There's a reveal on TV, but in the show, when you're taping it, there's no reveal.
So you just walk in
and it's like, oh, there she is. And she's 10 feet tall.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the first thing I think we did was take a photo together on the runway. And she was just like stilted there.
Oh, my God.
Hey, how are you?
Yeah.
You
know? I love that.
And she was a big fan of... bright colors and bold patterns.
Oh, yes, that's right. She went to see
She's so cool about that. And she also came to see, she's come to see everything. She came to see Torch Song. She came to see Government Inspector. She came to see Byron Seller. And she was on Ugly Betty. So I've met her many times. And I'm always like...
Yeah, it's Rue.
It's Rue, baby.
But she's super cool. And always has something interesting to say. And all the jokes... about me that day were about Barbara Streisand and Byron Seller. But it's, you know, you take your photo and then you do your runway. We all had our own individual
runway walk.
And then they start bringing them out for the Rue. This is like I also did Project Runway, and you know, like the hosts have somebody in their ear.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I hosted something once where I had somebody in my ear. So sometimes you'll see them like, right. And they're getting, you know, and they're learning what's happening.
Yeah, right.
Right then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they're sequestered. I mean, on those shows, they're still sequestered and they're not allowed to have phones and they have to live in. Right.
Yeah, it's crazy. Especially at that point, it was already in full swing. Like, it was already like the beast of a show that it was. In fact, that season 7 was the first year that they were like, really taking a lot of social media influential queens on. That was like almost a turning point.
That was the first year of like the Instagram queen as a concept.
Yeah, well, Miss Fame was big.
They shoot on a soundstage, right. And they have two or three stages. And one of them has the runway.
Right.
And then the other one has the workroom.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a set.
Yeah.
On a stage.
Right, it's
probably is insane to see that.
And you know, I didn't go in the room, but they have these two-way mirrors. All the mirrors are two-way mirrors. Mm. And you can go back there.
Oh my God, because that's how they shoot.
That's how they shoot in.
Oh, man.
And so you go back there and the queens are looking at you doing lip gloss or whatever. And, you know, you can't stand right up against them, but they're like, just stand back and they have no idea you're there.
Wow.
And there's no... ceiling, so you can hear them.
Oh God!
It's just an open room with like walls. It's crazy. That was the most exciting thing for me, was like just being a fly on the wall.
Sure,
watching
and
them
and seeing
just
how
talk.
Like the sausage gets made. Yeah,
totally.
So, but
second Hamilton reference.
There you go. So are you a big fan of the show to this day?
Yeah, I don't. I'm not great. Don't quiz me. But
no, we won't be quizzed. That was going to be a big part of the show. Was there was going to be a test.
Because I have been lax, but I do love the show, I love Shangela.
Yeah, Shangela's the.
And we did, you know, Shangela and Drew and I did Cocktails and Classics together. So we I love Shangela all the time.
Yes.
Shangela's amazing.
Not just on the show, yeah.
Totally. I actually thought everyone was so surprised she came back and was what she was. I'm like, you guys have not been watching because like she has been out there doing it, getting...
She works hard.
Yeah, I said...
And is very talented.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if she's not the peak version of herself, then she's damn near close. And she's worked so hard to get there.
Totally.
Yeah, she's amazing.
And she books, baby.
books.
She books.
She books.
She books all those Todrick Hall projects.
She books.
She right. books. Let me tell you, this new Todrick Hall what? Movie looks oh. good.
Oh, there's a Todrick Hall movie.
There's like a YouTube, he makes like a YouTube music video movie. It's oh, kind of like oh. similar to like Beyonce.
Yes, right,
has.
Right. Yeah.
There's a song called Dem Beats.
I've seen that one.
Which is oh, him and RuPaul. Just go YouTube
it's
Dem
fine.
Beats.
Okay.
There's a fun, like, glamorous Asian boy with a fan who, like, dances on the bar.
He gets on that bar top.
And I aspire to that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Wait, can we talk about, you brought up Patty as being this mother, or just yeah. the concept of, like, a character's parents, which, of course, made me think about Mercedes.
Ms. Mercedes.
Ms. Mercedes and yeah. Torch Song. Okay. Talk about Torch Song. Like, I mean... Any, there's probably no huge changes, but like is Moises still involved? Moises yeah. Kaufman.
Moises Kaufman's still the director.
Great.
It's gonna be basically the same production.
The same thing. Great.
Only I think maybe a little deeper, a little enhanced. Sure. But I imagine it'll be pretty much the same.
To fill the Helen Hayes.
To fill the Helen Hayes.
All that Helen Hayes.
Actually, the theater at the Helen Hayes is. The stage is smaller
right.
than at oh. second stage, and I think the room is actually smaller because the second stage. It's a 300-seat theater, but there's all this space, like on the sides and in the front and mm-hmm. the back. So the room itself is like a big warehouse that they put a theater in.
Yeah, Helen Hayes is like...
The Helen Hayes is pretty near.
It is narrow, actually, now that I think of it.
Yes, very yeah. small.
But still
That's
a nice
That's why it was
space.
Called the Little Theater.
The Little Theater.
The Little
That's
Theater.
That's why it was called the Little Theater.
Oh, my God. You, I think you said in your interview that it's hard to play Arnold without going into, like, the Harvey, like, register. I feel like... I don't know. Is that like a truly like a temptation or is that just
not really?
Okay. But
I mean, you know, it's easy to hear it. What's right. but that's actually a good thing because you know, like it's sort of like it's. I mean, I never saw Harvey do it, I may have seen the movie, but I didn't watch it because I just thought it. I
don't, yeah, why watch it?
You and also, he's so there. I mean, yep. I know mm-hmm. Harvey and I know his work well enough, and I now know him well enough to know. The spirit of what Arnold was for him and yeah. and that is extremely informative
yeah.
for me to know that so cuz there's always something to like lean on mm-hmm. in a good way not like as a crutch
right
no, totally
I don't think but
Harvey's your crutch no I don't
but it would be foolish not to I think it would be foolish to try to honor him
right,
and his
right.
and his performance he wrote it it's you know but there's no way I could be like him so and totally. Also what's interesting one of the things that I think is that our producer pointed out is that the Harvey the Arnold that audiences needed in 1982 mm-hmm. is different than the Arnold audiences need now and especially when it comes to the mother-son relationship right. because she what she says to, you know, she doesn't approve of the lifestyle. And what she says to him is so upsetting to hear mm-hmm. now to our audiences. The things she says, you know, the things she says,
yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
like,
you'll meet a nice girl one day and, yeah, or even,
yes, that. And like, if I'd known, I wouldn't have bothered to have you. I mean, she yeah, says some yeah. pretty rough. Harsh things and she loves him.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
of course.
It's like, and she loves him. Like, it's so it's like, and the audience gasps every night.
Yeah.
And back in the day, they didn't.
Right.
Right. Right.
But it's, I think they're gasping because they think this is something that can't possibly happen anymore. But it's so present in so many people's lives. I
oh,
mean,
sure. I mean, yeah, sure. That's the other thing. It's like, this is still important.
Oh, absolutely.
And they may gasp in New York City.
Right.
But,
My mom.
We don't know.
My mom would watch that and be like,
elsewhere. Who knows?
Yeah, that actress.
I liked really? What she yeah. said.
Right. Anyway,
I cannot wait to see it because we actually there was a period where we had I think three or four guests come in.
Well, and Drew was one of them.
Well, Drew was one of them. Yes, but even after that, they all came in. And they were like, "Just saw Torch Song. Incredible. Just saw Torch Song. You must.
Really?
Just saw Torch Song. I wanted to light myself on fire with joy afterwards. It was just like repeated praise. We cannot wait to see it.
Yeah,
that's nice.
I can't wait. I read it back in high school and I was like, this is this feels, I feel like I'm not advanced enough for this.
Oh, that's so interesting. I had that feeling too.
Right? Yeah.
Especially that scene. I don't know if you remember the scene where he goes into the back room.
Yes, yes, yes. And at International Stud.
He goes into the back room and experiences what happens in the back room of a bar like that.
What does happen?
Here,
for the
I'll
young
you.
Kids who listen.
Michael, show Matt.
Show me what happens.
And then you can audio describe it.
Yes, phone. Yes.
When I read that scene, it's done without another actor. So right. It's very well described in the play, in the script. And I remember reading that and knowing exactly what was going on and being like, this is adult.
It was too much.
This is a wild play.
I felt the same way that I felt when I discovered Tom of Finland. You know what I mean? It's like, this is a lot in a great way.
Yeah.
Anyway. Tom of Finland?
You don't know Tom of Finland? They're making a whole doc. I think they're making some documentary. He's that Finnish artist who drew cartoonishly masculine, muscular gay men.
Oh, okay.
You've seen them.
I'm sure I've seen them.
Yeah. They're like
lovely,
really bulky and
bulky
and
dudes. Right up your alley. It's like think like Long Island, but like biker. You know.
Love it.
Yeah.
One time, but here's a real story from English class. I was in AP composition. And we were reading Streetcar Named Desire.
Yes.
And on the front of Streetcar Named Desire is Marlon looking all sexy.
Yeah.
And my AP teacher was like, what do you think of this picture? And I was like, what?
Wow.
And she was like, what do you think the picture is supposed to make you feel? And I was like, I didn't know if I was being confronted, about my sexuality, and I was like, and she was really just asking something question about the male form or how it was supposed to be aspirational or something. But it was so blurred line that now looking back, I'm like, what the fuck was that?
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Really?
And she also told our whole class, everyone comes out in college. Everyone will come out.
What?
You guys will all come out in college.
This is in Long Island.
And we were all like, oh, of course it was. I mean, it was just so, it was every day was an affront.
Oh, well, she was saying that. She was that was played for laughs, though, the way she said that.
All of you will come out.
All of you will come out.
She was like, everyone comes out in college. Just you wait. Everyone, look around.
That's funny.
And everyone looked at me Matt Rogers. Headed to NYU in the fall. Oh, I remember I got into NYU and I was so excited because I was like, oh, yes, I can be gay. And then this girl that I went to high school with also got in. And I was like, well, never mind. Can't. She'll come back and tell everyone.
Oh,
that's how, I mean, you grew up in Texas. You know.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, but I had an older sister who was gay. So it was.
Oh, okay.
But, so it was a lot easier for me. But. When did you graduate from high school?
2008, I graduated from high school.
Oh, and
Michael's
burping.
I just threw up in my mouth a little bit.
Because
I was thinking that's because if a teacher had said that in my high school,
right,
in my day,
if
a teacher had said that, that would have been very scandalous.
Yeah, I think we were all thinking we were all being very liberal. In the moment. But yeah, it was I don't know. Long Island is a little bit. It's very conservative.
Right.
People don't really get that. Right, I mean, they think it's New York, it's a blue state, but it's conservative.
Well, Staten Island went red.
Yes, it did.
Right. I know that's not the same thing.
No, it's not. It's not the same thing, but
analogous.
The attitude is, I mean, I would imagine that
it's analogous.
It's analogous.
Good word.
Okay, baby. SAT word.
Thank you.
My AP comm teacher would have loved you.
Oh, my God.
I said analogous.
Analogous.
He said he had said analogous. I did get a 5 on the AP Comm test.
Good for you.
And 100 on the Regents.
Good.
A 5 out of what?
Thank you. 5.
Oh, 5 out of 5, baby. Yeah.
Imagine I was like, I had a 5 out of 100. I'm really dumb.
Brag
aggressively so.
Brag about it.
I'm analogous.
Well,
but yes, no. Listen, we've all come a long way since high school.
Yeah. Wow.
We're all here just gaying it up on this pod.
Well, I went to such a big high school that there weren't really bullies in my high school.
Great.
Because there were so many people.
Right.
You couldn't really, you would stay in your little groups. And
it wasn't an everyone knows everyone situation, unfortunately.
There were bullies in middle school, but then by the time I got to high school, there were no real bullies. So I really just hung out with people from theater and band.
The freaks, the weirdos, oh, yeah. the geeks. Yeah.
Did you play in band?
I played in the band in middle school and then in 9th and 10th grade. And then in where I'm from, there's a 9th and 10th grade school and then there's an 11th and 12th grade school, which is senior high school.
Oh, jeez. Mm-hmm. Seniors.
And everything is much more serious and I had to make a choice and I chose theater.
Good for you.
What instrument were you blowing before the decision?
French horn!
My sister played French horn. She was
That's
so cute.
Fun. People who played French horn,
I love them.
That's a really hard instrument.
It is.
Yeah, it's all, you know, twirled up.
Yeah, yeah. If you unrolled it, it would be like 3 miles
300
long.
300 miles long. It'd be so long.
And I was originally a trumpet player and I was not very good at the trumpet and they needed people to play French horn, so they asked me to.
God, and you filled in that?
But I was so bad at it. I was really bad, but I really liked it. I loved playing. I love being in marching band, especially.
Oh, yeah. Oh, good for you.
I played the clarinet.
I was a trumpet boy for like a second in middle school. And then our band teacher in middle school followed us to high school. And then he was on Grindr when I went home one Thanksgiving. And I was like, hi, Mr. K.
No, you didn't say hi to him on Grindr.
I said hi. And just in a very casual, like,
oh my God, I'm
platonic
scandalized.
Way.
Oh.
And he's doing great.
Wow.
It was a very fun, like...
Did the conversation progress?
No. Mr. K is doing great now. I won't say his full name, but it was
I think
fun...
you did earlier.
Mr. K?
Oh.
I'm just... Mr.
We'll go back in the edit and make sure we didn't out
his
a music teacher.
His initial name, K.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
That's Love really it. Interesting because I had a band teacher.
Huh? Wait, can we say this? No, Michael, you don't have to say anything.
No, say it. He was going to say
wait,
it.
Wait, say it, say it.
Well, I won't say his name.
Don't say his name, but say everything
but
else.
I had a band teacher reach out to me recently. He was my band teacher for 1 year only, and I thought he was very nice, but I haven't thought about him in 20 years, really.
Oh, my God.
I thought he was very nice and a very nice teacher, and he found me on Twitter.
Great.
And he said, I'm coming to see Torch Song and Bright Colors and Bold Patterns. And I was like, oh, he gay.
Lovely. He gay now.
No. Unless he not gay. And but then he just thinks he's
no,
coming
he
out
gay.
This
way. He gay.
So we talked and we met and we talked and he gay. I looked. I was like, well, what else does he do on Twitter? And it's all drag race stuff. He likes, really likes drag
I
race.
I love that.
And, you know, so he's on Twitter as himself. So, like, sure. I mean, so he's out and on, which is also like, you know, that he could, because there were teachers that I knew that were gay and you couldn't be gay.
Right. Yeah. Because then it's a whole controversy about why is that gay person teaching my kid?
Ooh, that's fun. That's a fun character.
I'm gonna wrap this character up. Why is that gay person teaching my kid flute?
Love it.
My kid's gonna learn flute from a straight man.
I can picture.
What do I look like?
The gout that you have. That's lovely. Wait, okay.
Not really. I pictured myself as really hot as that character.
Fine. Oh, really?
Like stunning.
But a guy?
Yeah. Yeah. Like looking hey! Like
that
looking,
was a guy?
Looking like Dermot Mulroney, honey.
Jesus. I see it.
Looking like Miss Dermot.
Oh my God, Miss Dermot.
But like in denim?
Yeah, yes. All denim.
Yeah.
Acid wash,
denim head
jacket.
To toe.
Maybe a wife beater and a denim jacket.
Yes, but looking Dermot in the face.
And a mullet?
And a mullet. Fun.
I don't know. Why was the hottest person I could think of Dermot Mulroney? I guess it checks out.
Yeah, he's up there.
And
he's
you look kind
hot.
Of like him. I see
really?
It.
You think? Oh my God. Oh,
kind of,
yeah, I see it.
I'll take it.
The strong nose, the strong brow.
I see one of those face match apps you getting him.
There I would
go.
Love to get that. When I was
Who
in
do
high
you get?
School,
Who do you get?
When I was in high school,
Robert Pattinson.
I got Robert Pattinson.
Oh, I see that.
Back when he was like all over the place.
Mm. Yeah.
And we were doing our hair the same way. I used to get him all the time.
Yeah, he was doing it like you.
Right. He saw me at my busboy job at a crab shack one time and was like, I think that's the way I'm going to do my hair. I think that's what's going to catch on with the teen girls.
Yes.
He's but all sparkly.
Yeah.
Who do you get?
I don't get anybody.
You get.
Who do I get? No one.
I was leading you into an answer.
I truly don't have one. Like that's I normally I would just fill in the blank.
Yeah.
I just don't have one.
Somebody said Zachary Quinto to me one time, and I
oh,
really
to you.
Liked that.
That's fun. That's
yeah,
fun.
I really appreciated that.
Yeah. The eyebrows, I see it.
Who do you get? I mean, yourself. Whatever.
Who do you get? Are you Michael Urie? And
people
you're like,
have said
no.
That. People have been like, you look like that guy from Ugly Betty, and I'm like, I'm like, yeah. I'm like, no, you're way too old. No,
those bitches.
But yeah, people have said that.
I mean, but, do you get any other celebs?
I'm
trying to think.
I can't remember. I used to. I mean, I feel like I used to get. Oh, J.C. Chazé.
J.C. Chazé? Yeah.
Oh, he's a hottie.
Fun. That's a fun
from,
one.
From NSYNC.
He was very.
On this side. I have a totally asymmetrical face. So on one side, I'm a leading man. But on the other side, I'm a character.
Mr. Character.
Oh, I love that.
So he walks into a room in a new casting office. Hi, how are you? Like only showing one side of the face for the part.
Exactly. Depending on what I need. Depending on the needs of the
depending
character.
Depending on the needs.
Oh my God. A verse face.
Yeah.
You know who you remind me of in energy? I don't know if you know this person, but you do. He reminds me of Lee Overtree.
Lee Overtree?
Do you know Lee Overtree?
I don't know Lee Overtree.
Oh, he wrote the musical Found. Remember?
Oh, yeah, okay.
You remind me of, he's a good friend of ours, and you remind me of him.
Ooh. Found a good
it's
way.
A very good compliment.
Oh, good.
It's a very good compliment. Yes. Matt loves Lee. I love Lee too. We both love Lee.
Well, we both love Lee.
It reminds you in energy, like as opposed to you look like this person, you remind me of this person.
Right.
That's a different, that's a whole.
Yes. Have you ever played the game Essences?
No.
Okay, so Essences is a really fun game where basically, like, you well explain it like you pick a person that you all know and then you say okay got it and then you say okay if this person were a type of color what color are they and you say this person is red and then they go okay and then they have two more guesses and they have two more things they can ask and then they have to guess.
It's fun. It's a fun little
game. It's a fun game.
Oh.
So someone in essence is different than someone like looking.
Oh,
at
so
something.
You think of the person and then
other people try to guess.
Ooh.
Here, let's play right now with
okay.
celebrities.
Okay. All right.
I'm gonna make it an easy one. Okay, I have my person.
If this person were a franchise, like a big
like a,
movie,
like a film, franchise?
A film franchise,
I'm gonna say Star Wars.
Oh okay. Wow!
I don't
okay,
know, I don't know
if this cool. person were a deli sandwich.
I'm going to say this person would be like a really like a Reuben sandwich on Italian bread, like with the works.
Oh my God, Mary Testa?
No, but that's actually really close.
Jackie Hoffman?
Think big celebrity.
Okay. Patti LuPone?
Bigger. And yes, bigger? I said that. I went there. Honey.
Okay.
Okay. We have another question.
You have another question.
What you just asked was great. You get another one.
The Reuben on Italian?
Yeah, like
well, I'm saying you asked, that was a great deli. Deli okay. sandwich is great.
That's a
and
really
Star
good
Star Wars. That means, I mean, I feel like it's a big star.
Big, huge
the
star.
Biggest.
Yeah.
In an Italian, okay. I think, okay. If I was,
if you were.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. If she were, or he were. If this person were, if this person were a way to die, what would it be? A means of death.
If this person were a way to die,
that's okay.
It would be on national television.
What?
They would jump off a cruise liner.
Oh my God.
And they would belt a note as they were.
Is it Lady Gaga?
No.
Is it Cher?
But, yeah!
Oh my God!
It is Cher.
Wow, wonderful.
That was pretty good, right?
That's pretty good.
See, it's cathartic.
We used to play a game called we called Von Heusen. My friends made it up, and you use a deck of cards, and you lick the back and stick it to your forehead, and then you ask those kind of qualitative questions
to figure out
what.
Yeah, that's a fun one.
Yeah, and these one time somebody had like a nine, and they said I'm a clothing line, and they're like you're Von Heusen. And that's how the name stuck.
Von Heusen. Von Heusen.
Gorgeous.
They're not even one of our sponsors.
No. We have new sponsors. Well
your sponsors are all kings, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
And
queens.
And queens. Should we move on?
I think it's time to move on to, we have a new segment.
Okay.
I don't know if you know this, but this segment is called Voice Mem. Oh, you bitch. Where a favorite friend of the podcast will send in a voice memo. And spill a little tea, say hi, spin a little tale. And it looks like our person who sent in the memo misunderstood the assignment a little bit.
Yeah, so our friend Patty Harrison, former guest, great comedian.
Yeah, great comedian.
She sent us a memo, but then she immediately said, oh shit, that wasn't meant for you guys, that was for someone else.
And we were told not to play it, but we are gonna play it.
We have to play it. Yeah, so this is from Patty Harrison, and again, this was not meant for us, but we will play it anyway. Here we go.
Hey mom, I just wanted to call.
Oh,
and
sorry.
Leave you a voicemail.
Mom.
I wanted to say that I miss you, and I'm sorry I haven't called recently. Okay. I've been really busy with work and the day-to-day stuff. I don't want to bore you, I guess. You know, I know people think I'm weird and...
What?
But I don't know. I don't care.
Really struggling.
I wish I could hear your voice again.
No.
In person instead of having to hear it through your voice mail message. It's been 6 months since you've died, and hearing your voice on your voicemail is all I really have left.
Bowen, I don't know.
Okay. Hold on. Let's keep playing.
Yeah. I know people think I'm crazy for leaving you this voicemail, but sometimes it helps. Sometimes it helps me feel not so crazy. No. I never thought I'd lose you. And...
No.
This is so sad.
Wow, I'm sorry. This is so hard. I can't keep leaving voicemails in your mailbox because it's going to get full soon, but no. I wanted to know if you had the $17 that you borrowed from me before you passed, and if there's any way that I could get that back.
Man. Oh, Patty.
She doesn't understand how death works.
No, I miss you so much, and your passing rocked my world and shook me to my core. And also, I really need that $17 I gave you. You know, when you asked me to borrow $17 to get contact solution.
Oh.
I remember at first I said no because I didn't think you were going to give it back. And also that you were terminally ill and that I kind of predicted that you would die before you could pay me back.
Oh, no.
But I gave it to you anyways because I had hope. I had a hope that you would get better. Even though I knew it wasn't going to happen. And sadly, I was right.
Patty.
So, and I guess I'm never going to get that $17 back.
I don't think she's going to get it back.
But I did
make
a Venmo request, so if you can open that app from wherever you are.
She's dead, bitch. And
Venmo's not...
This is your friend. Yeah, look at it. She's a dumb bitch.
Fulfill the payment. That'd be great, because...
Fulfill the payment.
I myself need... contact solution.
She needs contact
because
solution.
Because my contacts are getting pretty dirty. I know. After you left, I'm having a real hard time taking care of myself. I'm a mess. I've been dunking my contacts in my own hot little ass.
Hot little ass? And
really getting them all wet that way. But
I don't
know
about
making
this.
Them dirty, weirdly enough. It's making them dirtier.
Your dead mom
and then
is hearing
once I
this.
Put my contacts back in my eyes,
lap.
That is when things go bad. I get.
Why doesn't she get the bottle?
I've got an
mom?
Infection.
Right. You're so right.
In both of my eyes. So I've gotten two infections.
Two infections.
And that's mainly because, you know, some would say that's mainly because I've been putting contacts in my asshole and then putting them directly into my eyes and transferring bacteria that way. But I think it's because I had a mom who fell through on a favor.
Oh.
I don't want to be petty. I know people already think I'm crazy. I'm standing here in line at Tivana having this conversation with you, and everyone's staring at me and pointing at me and my amazing tits and my big fat ass and my little waist. So small, Mom. You'd be so proud it's gotten smaller since you've died. I don't know. This is going a little long. I don't want to fill your voicemail box. I love you and I miss you every day, and I hope to join you soon. I love you, Mom.
Wow, that was a voice memo from Patty
Harrison.
Patty's going through it.
She is,
but you know what? I feel like all her problems are very fixable.
I mean, it's. I'm genuine. I feel for her.
I just don't know what the aim was there. Her mother is not going to give her the $17.
Yeah.
No, she's not getting that.
No, she's not getting that. And Patty, if you need us to spot you,
we can give you the money, Patty.
Wow.
We wish you the best.
Well, that's our voice memo, you bitch, for this episode.
Yes, thank you, Patty Harrison.
Now let's close this
out. We miss you, bitch.
We miss you. Let's close this out. Let's do some I Don't Think So, Honey.
Let's do some I Don't Think So, Honey. So this is the segment you all fucking love, which is where we take 1 minute to rail against something, anything at all in culture that is bothering us. It can be a pop cultural topic. It can be, you know, oh my God, you know what we didn't do?
We didn't ask Michael
the question, what culture... What was the culture you...
Right.
Okay.
Growing up.
Quickly, what was it?
I prepared.
Oh, my God,
Michael. I'm so sorry. Okay.
No. But ask the question again.
Okay. Michael, what was the culture that made you say culture is for me? Which means, what was the piece... What was the cultural relic for you? It could be a movie, a book, a play, anything at all that made you think, I'm going to move in a cultural direction in my life?
That's a really interesting question.
Thank you.
I like it a lot.
Thank you so much.
I'm so glad you remembered to ask it. it was the movie Batman.
Oh,
love it.
In 1989.
Yes.
Michael Keaton.
The year you were born?
I was born after, right after. After the Keaton. Actually, I was conceived during watching the Michael Keaton Batman.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So it was kind of a cultural turning point for you too.
Absolutely. Yes. Once my mom saw that jawline in that suit, she said, "Get me home. I'm being Kim Basinger tonight."
Okay. Gorgeous. Okay,
born.
Batman.
The movie Batman, I was 9 years old and or eight, I can't remember, but I saw it in the theater and I loved Batman because of the TV show.
Yes.
With Adam West.
Adam West.
And
Adam West.
Cesar Romero as the Joker and Burgess Meredith as the Penguin and all that stuff. And the toys. I had the toys. And so I love Batman already. And so when the movie came out, I was very excited. And also, my dad looked like Jack Nicholson.
Whoa.
So there's all this stuff swirling around.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot of stuff.
And I love Beetlejuice, which had just come out.
Oh, yeah.
Right before he did Batman.
Beetlejuice is a big one.
Nice.
And so,
did you continue to like the Batman, Tim Burton Batmans, and then the Joel Schumacher Batmans?
Yes, the Tim Burton Batman Returns is excellent.
So good.
Very good.
And Batman Forever is okay.
It's fine.
Batman and Robin is a true disaster.
But fun.
But beautiful in its own right.
It is.
Come on. Okay.
What do you mean? Like beautiful?
Wait, I'll tell you the gag of Batman and Robin. Alicia Silverstone's sleepy performance. Uncle Alfred. Her running outside. Uncle Alfred.
It's fun. She brought a little bit of Cher Horowitz.
Oh, did she?
A little bit.
Just a little.
Miss Silverstone was doing Cher Horowitz a lot in the 90s. I love her.
There was a moment in that movie where they're riding a motorcycle on a statue and they jump from one statue to another statue on a motorcycle. A statue the size of a skyscraper.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, and that's not even in the top 10 things that are like, what the fuck's going on? What about
Mr.
the nipples
puns.
On the suit?
Oh, the nipples on
the suits were in Forever, too, as well.
They were in Forever?
Yes, they were in Forever as well.
Ms. Kilmer?
With Ms. Kilmer, yeah.
And Dr. Chase Meridian?
Nicole!
My first intro to Nicole.
Really?
And Dr. Then, Chase Meridian.
And Jim Carrey's The Riddler says, "And what a grand pursuit you must be."
Oh,
I forgot about that.
He's very
that.
Good in that.
He's very good. Tommy Lee Jones is the speed bump in that movie.
He's a little out of control.
He's a little not, Tommy Lee Jones-ish.
Tommy Lee Jones amped up isn't Tommy. I mean, you want Tommy Lee Jones to be leaning back.
You got to have him at the fugitive
I don't
decibel.
Care.
Yeah. Tommy Lee Jones kind of sitting back in his own staunch in his truth is what I want. I don't want comic book villain Tommy Lee Jones.
Yeah, that's what you get Jim Carrey for.
Totally. And then thank God for Aaron Eckhart to ground that character.
Do you remember the glamour?
Films. Yes.
The glamour of Nicole Kidman giving you the kind of Veronica-like hair as Dr. Stunning.
Stunning.
I think that might have been a moment of culture for me, is like looking at like the VHS cover of the movie and seeing Nicole Kidman and being like, I'm her.
You were her.
I'm How her, actually.
You. What about Michelle Pfeiffer in Batman Returns?
I don't think I knew I was her yet. I don't. But I would become her later. But looking at Nicole, I was like, oh, I'm her.
Wow. Very good.
I don't know. We talked about this on another podcast the other day. I had a fixation on damsels in distresses.
Mm-hmm. Damsels in distress. Plural. Yeah.
Damsels in distresses. I had a fixation on the damsel in distresses.
Okay.
But I always wanted to be them. And like, especially when they looked like that. Like,
oh, sure.
Miss Nicole was stunning. And I remember I always wanted to be in a scenario where I was in one tube and someone else was in another tube.
Someone had to make a choice.
And there was a releasing moment and someone had to make a choice.
Yeah.
Wow. And they pick me.
I choose both because I am both.
Yeah, right.
Gorgeous.
Beautiful Shakespearean.
It is Shakespearean.
Yes.
But the first Batman was really that's when I was like, this is, I want to think like this. I want to, and you know, but then that movie came out, it was thought of as very dark.
Yeah.
Right. Oh yeah.
And then the Christopher Nolan one came along and is actually quite
right,
dark.
Right.
And
yeah,
when you look back at the Batman with Michael Keaton, Michael Keaton is serious. I guess it was because we knew Michael Keaton as a comedian and then he played Batman and he was very serious. He was a comedian before that. He was in Mr. Mom and Beetlejuice and
goofy Gung-Ho. Stuff. Yeah. I always forget that goof.
He did Batman and he was like serious Batman Bruce Wayne. And so people thought it was dark.
There needs to be a degree of humor, I think, in those movies. The Christopher Nolan ones, even those, they had like, there was something about them. There was like some cheeky stuff in there.
Like what?
Like, I don't know. Like, remember the scene where like, Christian Bale is like talking to Anne Hathaway on the roof and then he turns around and she's gone and he goes, that happens to me a lot or something like, oh no, he goes, so that's what that feels like.
Or
and I was in the audience no, just kidding.
That was a good joke. I remember that was
it
funny.
Was
what did you think of my impression?
That was very good.
But there weren't in the first Batman.
There weren't that many funny
Batman
movies.
Beyond there, or whatever.
Begins. Yeah.
There wasn't anything funny in that.
Actually, right, Katie Holmes, they scripted that as a comedic performance. She just didn't nail it.
But Maggie Gyllenhaal goes for it in the
second
one.
Hilarious. Comedic tour de force.
He's like, I'm meeting the commissioner tonight. And she's like, oh, Jim Gordon, he's a friend, actually.
Yeah! Wow. When she blew up in that movie, I gained so much respect for that movie. Because I was like, no other superhero movie would ever kill off
the
romantic lead.
Totally.
Exactly. They would never.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Chase Meridian would never hit the rocks.
Sure.
Well, that's the same character. Katie Holmes. And Maggie, so they replaced her, and then they killed her.
Exactly.
And then they killed her.
That's what they thought of that character.
That's
what they thought of her.
And then they replaced her with her.
And?
And then, of course, what was also in that movie was her, which is Miss Marion.
Miss Marion.
Marion Cotillard.
Oh, right. Yes.
She actually shades that movie a lot in interviews. Do you want to know why?
Why?
She goes, I gave them a lot of takes of me dying, and they used the shittiest one. Like, the way she dies in the movie is like, like, it's really shitty. And she says in interviews, like, several interviews, she's like, I don't like to talk about that movie because the take they used of me dying is so fucking insane.
Wow.
She says it, like, poignant in French than I could, but, like...
And then she was like, and did the two towers, and did the twin towers actually...
She's famously a truther.
She's a 9/11 truther.
Oh, she is?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's a truther.
Oh, my God.
It's very funny.
What about the new Batman?
Oh.
Ben Affleck.
Haven't seen Justice League, haven't seen Batman
fully
versus
hard
Superman.
Pass.
There's Justice League, there's Batman versus Superman, and there was... Oh, no, that's it.
Oh, Suicide Squad? Was he in that?
He's in that for a minute.
For a second. I don't know. I'm not a Ben Affleck fan. That's fine. That's fine. It's my right to not be a Ben Affleck fan. I don't have to be.
You're right.
It's my right and I'm right. But the thing is, I will go see the movies because it is Batman and I enjoy the other people in the movies. Like, I love Ms. Gall.
Ms. Gall.
She's so good.
Stunning.
So good.
But, and I did see, Joel and I saw Justice League.
Yes.
And we liked it, but he's not Batman.
He's just not Batman.
You know what I like about what they did in Justice League?
What?
Not a lot, but I did like that Batman was old and kept getting hurt.
Fun.
I will tell you this.
He kept like being like, ooh, you know, he was like, I'm too old for this shit, guy.
Going through it.
And that
also
was very interesting.
There's a scene in Justice League where him and Gal are like down in like the bunker and he's like, let's have a drink. And he pours himself a scotch. And let me tell you, he brought himself to the part. He poured himself a quadruple, honey. Oof. He's like, let's have a casual drink. And I was like, oh my God.
His prop work is the most truthful thing
he does. It was fucking crazy, the size of the drink he poured for himself. Yeah. And he goes like, would you like a drink? And she's like, no. And you can tell there's a little bit in her performance, which is like, oh God, this guy's really diving in.
But you know what I also like in that movie is Green Lantern. No, I'm sorry, The Flash.
The Flash, yeah. And also, he was hot.
He's very cute.
Oh, who plays that guy?
Ezra Miller.
Yes, Ezra.
Super cute. Yes, and he's funny. Super cute. And then Billy Crudup, who plays his dad, so good.
Give it to me.
Billy Crudup, have you seen Harry Clark? Billy Crudup and Harry Clark, one man show playing at the Minetta Lane Theater.
I've never seen him on stage.
It's
very good.
I love him because he was in a movie about that I used to watch all the time in high school.
Big
about
Fish.
Steve Prefontaine,
what?
The Runner. Yeah, he was also in Big Fish, which is a movie.
Big Fish.
He was in Big Fish.
I love
him. And also
Miss Marion.
Cotillard playing the French wife.
Yeah. Wait, what were you going to say about Billy?
Mr. Billy Crudup was in a movie called Without Limits, which is a really good movie about Steve Prefontaine, a famous distance runner. And I ran track in high school. So that was like
The Flash.
I'm a lot like The Flash.
Like The Flash.
Yeah. When you put me in the suit, my body looks exactly like that.
Fine.
In fact, I told them, stop using my body as inspiration for these superheroes.
And guys, you know what? My celebrity doppelganger, it's coming back to me, is Billy Crudup.
I see it. I thought you were going to say Ezra Miller.
No, it's Billy. It's more, it's like middle-aged Billy, like post, not even middle-aged, it's just like post almost famous Billy. That's my doppelganger. Okay, let's do I Don't Think So, Honey.
So yet again, I'll explain. It's 1 minute where you take it to rail against culture. That was like a disgusting conglomeration of words in a sentence.
Beautiful.
You know what I Don't Think So, Honey is.
So I have one. Do you want me to start this time?
I would love it if you started.
Okay, go ahead and take my phone.
Okay. Okay,
great.
So this is Bowen Yang's I Don't Think So, Honey, and his time will start now.
I Don't Think So, Honey, the Senate Judiciary Committee. These Zuckerberg hearings, or the one Zuckerberg hearing they had yesterday, was a fucking joke. Orrin Hatch, you're fucking busted. You're an idiot.
Ooh.
He asked Zuckerberg, how do you expect to keep a platform that's free?
Oh.
And then Zuckerberg literally, like, his robot brain glitched out for a second, and he was like, will we run ads, sir? Like, how is Congress supposed to hold the tech world accountable if they don't understand how these products
30 seconds.
Work?
Go off, queen.
It's a joke,
Slay.
Queen. Chuck Grassley, you're fucking busted, too.
Slay!
Your 25-year-old aide wrote you your opening remarks, and you could barely read, honey.
Go off, queen.
We're going to put you out. Go back to Iowa, and you know what?
15.
I want you to just blend in with the corn or whatever goes on over
Drag
there.
Her.
I want you to like literally just like go back to
Five
the
seconds,
earth
mama.
From whence you came and just like I want your ashes to be spread in a cornfield. That's beautiful and I wish you the best.
And
I
that's 1 minute.
I wish you the best.
I wish Chuck Grassley the best, even though he's a poison in our
I
country.
Have yet to sit down and watch the Senate Judiciary
hearings.
I mean,
they're boring, but like
they are boring, but it is staggering how how inept they are.
They don't get it at all. They're like, so they're like, why can't
so what's the top eight?
Well, no, shut up. Someone
how do I change my top eight?
Who's Tom? Everyone is like, today was House, but yesterday in the Senate, everyone was just like, well, can't you monitor every single data just transaction? And like Mark Zuckerberg had to be like, well, no, you don't understand. We have 2 billion users. There are billions of these like communications and transfers every single second. Like, there's no way we can track all of these and that we know where this is all going. And like these people just don't get it. Like the people who are supposed to sort of in some way legislate this don't understand how it works.
It's got to be very frustrating to watch. Yeah.
It's sad. Anyway, I just wanted to read Chuck Grassley and Orrin Hatch.
And you did. You dragged her. Drag her. Go off, queen. Slay.
Thank
those two
you.
Those two are really, really old.
Real old. Oh, they're so
and now,
old.
They're really old.
Not to be ageist, but Chuck Grassley, girl, you got to moisturize, bitch. Okay, this is Matt Rogers's I Don't Think
Honey. Here we go.
and his time starts now.
I don't think so, honey. Instagram pushing all the thirst traps to the top of my feed. Bitch, okay, you are really trying to get me to act a fool and slip and fall into some DMs. I get it. Everyone looks good right now. Notice I don't say I don't think so, honey, people posting thirst traps, because I feel that you have the freedom to do whatever you want,
sure,
honey.
Sure.
I don't think so, honey, Instagrams for trying to get me to look foolish. Because nothing, literally, I'm on the subway getting here and I pulled out my Instagram and the first
30 seconds
picture was a guy I went on a date with a long time ago, like with nipples out. I was like, oh my God, he looks good. And before I double tapped, I was like, no, you act like a crazy person. And I stopped myself. I was just like, everyone, relax. Instagram.
15 seconds.
I think that we need more pictures of flowers.
Mm.
I think we need more pictures that are going to temper the situation. The situation meaning me hitting up literally
Five
everyone
seconds.
In my feed. I'm single going on a year now.
Oh.
And the thing is, I'm nervous about making... Oh, I'm past a minute.
And that's 1 minute.
Look, it becomes confusing.
Go on. I'll give you my time.
Here, here's the thing. Everyone's posting their thirst traps right now. Mm-hmm. I think a spring has sprung.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you're blaming Instagram.
But yeah. I'm blaming Instagram because it's almost as like, do you think Instagram watches me and sees what I like?
Absolutely. That's absolutely what's happening, Matt. The fact that you're liking the thirst traps, which means that Instagram has like literal algorithms to be like, oh, this is a picture of a shirtless person.
They're like, oh, you think so? Yep.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
You think they know that specifically?
It's the whole.
They know.
They know, baby.
That's what this whole hearing is about. It's all about how people, they show you exactly what they want you to see. I was just talking to the people about last night. I was talking to the producers of Torch Song and about online ads, and they can you're chapping.
I'm just a little chap,
guys.
Putting
on the chap.
They can. They will. They will find out who you are and what you like and what you are, and they will and they will cater ads to you.
Yeah, that's
the ad.
I mean,
I'll get a different ad than my parents will.
Yeah,
right.
I had a phone conversation one time, I think with you, where I mentioned some product. Oh, you know what? It was Mack Weldon, because we did ads for Mack Weldon, the like men's clothing company, for a little while. And I'm telling you, I never searched Mack Weldon, never did anything. It was like a conversation we had had before we were doing the ads. Then popped up all over my Instagram, Mack Weldon, Mack Weldon, Mack Weldon. It was almost like I said it in my phone. It heard me say it.
It's possible.
I mean, you know that like it's all connected. So someone that you even look up on Instagram comes up as a suggested friend on Facebook.
Yes, yes, yes. You got to read up on this stuff, baby. This is what the whole thing is about.
Someone I know who works in TV said they had a meeting at work and they were advised by the producers of the show to tape over their camera on their phone.
Their front-facing
camera. And they were like, is that a real thing? And they were like, more than likely it is a real thing. Yes.
So
would you watch Black Mirror?
I'm too scared of that.
I haven't watched
it. I've watched the Bryce Dallas Howard episode.
That's a really sad one. There's an episode about a camera, a computer camera that is very messed up.
I heard the episode that came out this year with Kristen Milioti and like the like Star Trek one. Oh, I heard that was really good.
It's fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah. I love Miss Kristen.
Oh yeah, Kristen. She's so good.
I gotta watch it.
I would like to watch it too.
It's upsetting.
Ugh, damn it.
It's very upsetting. Did you watch Handmaid's Tale?
I made it through 4 episodes of it and it got to be overwhelming.
I didn't want
it. Because it's so upsetting.
It was too much.
It felt like it was real.
Yeah, I mean, it really did at the time. Yeah.
I mean, but I remember reading the book like 5 years ago and being like, I can't do this. So that's my relationship.
You know what I'm
media.
Trying to read right now? A Little Life.
Oh.
I'm reading like three pages at a time. It's too much.
Nope. I tried. I got it for Ryan, for my partner Ryan, for Christmas 1 year. I was like, you'll like this. and suddenly he's like, oh, great. And then suddenly it was on the shelf and I was like, did you finish it? And he's like, no, I can't. And then I just went on a reading kick and I was like, I'm going to read A Little Life, because everybody I know was like, this is the best book I've ever read. And so I pick it up and I get one page in and I'm one page. And I said, I'm not going to read this.
I was on page 30. I almost had an anxiety attack on the plane.
I can't.
I was like, I cannot do this. I was crying.
Yeah.
The person next to me was like, get it together.
I like to read end of the world books. My sister and I trade end of the world books. That's way better.
That's actually
to me than looking into my soul. I'd much rather like imagine what I would be like in a scary situation than read about what my life was really like.
Okay, but in that way, you're still confronting something about yourself.
I think so, yeah.
Which is nice. Yeah, that's beautiful. Michael, I support that. Okay, this is Michael Urie's I Don't Think So Honey.
And I support this.
I support this. Michael Urie, this is your I Don't Think So Honey. Your time starts now.
I don't think so, honey. How can he possibly president? This man has so many scandals. He has broken so many laws. Oh. There are so many dogs sniffing up his ass right now. How
drag
on
her.
Earth is he supposed to even think about Syria?
Ah!
And how are any of us supposed to believe that he is? How are any of us supposed to trust that anybody is president right now? That,
no.
That he can yes. possibly... And how can anybody have a conversation with him without talking about the myriad scandals that he has going on
drag
right
her.
Now? How on earth is he thinking about what we need about mm-hmm. about our healthcare, about our taxes, mm. about our infrastructure and the roads and the things that he has promised and the wall. Let's even talk about the crazy things God. He wants to do. How can he think about those when literally three times a day he's the top story breaking story and it's about how illegal his activities have been?
Oh, gorgeous. And that's one
Did you see CNN reports he's more popular now in the last 2 weeks? His popularity, it went up like 3 or 4 points. Some the fuck how.
Was it the raid? Well, here's the thing.
Probably because it couldn't have gotten lower.
That wouldn't have been the raid. The raid must be next.
Oh, got it. Oh, because the polling is behind in that.
Oh, right. We have yet to see the response of America to that in the polls.
What was it that?
I don't know.
Wow.
But CNN, who I trust, they said his popularity is up while Republicans, like it doesn't look good for them in 2018.
Well, no, I mean, Paul Ryan today announced he wasn't.
Huge.
And Paul Ryan is what, 12 years old?
12,
yeah.
Has 50 more years that he could. I mean, we see how old these people get.
Yeah.
We see how old Orrin Hatch and Chuck Grassley are.
Yeah.
And Mitch McConnell. Like, he has 50 more years.
Yeah, she's only 48.
48 years old. He could be senator for another 30, 40 years.
Yeah, 100%.
Yep. Or, I'm sorry, he could be a representative for another 30 or 40 years.
Yeah, he could hang in
there.
And
he is leaving because it's because he has such little chance because he stood by this man for 2 years.
Right, right.
There's no way he could be president now.
No.
Which is all he wanted. He didn't even get what he would. He didn't even like bring down the deficit, which is the only thing he wanted to do. This tax plan is bullshit.
Oh, I think he would have stayed in if the polling in his state wasn't so bad. I was in Wisconsin I did a Paul Ryan like impression. I did like a thing as Paul Ryan for this like nonprofit, and it was we talked to a lot of people in like Madison, and he is not popular at all.
He was probably gonna just resign anyway and not seek re-election anyway, but people were saying that he wasn't gonna do it until after midterms.
Right.
But now the fact that he's announcing it, or that it's coming out before the midterms, must mean that he's getting really bad internals.
Can't take it anymore.
And he's like, oh, I have no chance
of
winning.
He was gonna run and then resign?
Yeah,
resign. That's what they were saying. So that at least it wouldn't like create this pall over the rest of the party going into the election.
There's a pall.
Oh, there certainly is. There's a pall.
And his name is Ryan.
Honey, there's a pall, and it's because of the absence of Paul.
There you go. And you know what? Here's the thing. Everyone's just like, they smell blood in the water. Well, no. It's just if Trump fires Rod Rosenstein and then goes on to fire Bob Mueller, then like, it's done.
He can't fire Bob Mueller.
How many clear instances of obstruction of justice do we need?
Exactly. It's like they're already all there. It's like, but this is just that would be like the actual moment of political suicide,
right?
Where it's like,
that's
okay, you've
saying, yeah.
actually fucked yourself over. This is blatantly obstruction.
Because if he
of justice.
Fires Rod Rosenstein and puts in, oh, I don't know, Jared Kushner, then Jared Kushner could either fire
Mueller,
or when Mueller's report is made, not share it with anybody.
Yes,
right. Because
yes,
it's
yes.
up to the attorney general.
Yes.
Attorney General to share that information.
Right. But then it's like, but then whatever happens, like post midterms, like if Democrats gain control of both houses, then it's like, okay, you're impeached by.
But also that doesn't have anything to do with the
scandals.
FBI.
Oh, yeah.
And the Mueller investigation doesn't actually have anything to do, except for that they discovered it and passed it on to
the
New York Attorney General.
Exactly.
And so now this whole Stormy Daniels raiding Michael Cohen thing is actually not that has nothing to do with Mueller. So exactly. if Mueller's work gets stopped, that scandal might still take him down.
The Stormy Daniels
campaign
stuff?
Finance.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Stormy Daniels campaign 100%. Finance thing, which is how they took, you know, they took down Al Capone because of taxes. They impeached Bill Clinton because of a blowjob. But that came out of an investigation about something else entirely.
Totally.
There's a lot of ways we could get to where we need to get to. It's just a matter of
thanks to him breaking every law he could.
Exactly. Right.
And are the people around him gonna do what's best for the country and be transparent about the information?
Right.
And he's surrounded himself with people that will cover for him. So, as we've seen,
they'll go all the way down. Sword.
Yeah.
But the gorgeous, I don't think so, honey. So many scandals. Remember when shithole countries was like a thing?
Months ago? That's what I'm saying. It's like we forget. And now I think I literally think we must be hundreds of scandals deep. Oh. Like it's every other day to the point where it's like, Grab Him by the Pussy like stands out as like a landmark one, but that's not even. Yeah.
Well, that one came back today. Did you hear that?
Because the Access Hollywood stuff was what they were looking for. Because
it seems like Michael Cohen tried to pay whoever had that tape off
to suppress it. Yes, that was what came out today. Let me tell you, today was a hot day for The View. I said today was a steaming hot day for The View. I haven't watched
Matt's
it today.
Primary source of news, The View.
I love The View, honey.
Steaming hot topics.
I love The View because today was Mariah.
Oh, right.
Oh.
Very proud of you, Mariah.
Proud of Mariah. So,
come on. Come with the truth. The truth will set you free.
Yes.
And put it in the music, girl. That's why we love you.
Yes.
We welcome you back, honey, with open arms.
No, oh, you're there not, you go. I'm and not, she did a cover so of open arms.
Now, I started too high, honey.
So now I come to you.
Okay. Had to add a little riff in there.
Of course,
Mariah.
Of course.
Anyway.
Hot day for news on The View.
Hot day for news. Can't wait to see Meghan's take.
Okay. Well.
Thoughts on Meghan McCain? He looked away.
Meghan McCain is tough. She's a tough one. That's a tough one.
I try so hard. Yeah. I try so hard.
No.
I wanna understand. But then she said, my celebrity crush is Paul Ryan, and I was like, fuck you. She said they were talking about their celebrity crushes, and like Sonny and I think
LOL,
what's her name,
Paul
Sarah
Ryan.
Haynes were like, we like Idris Elba, and the audience was like, woo. And then Megan goes, I like Paul Ryan, and they were like, and there was like a groan from the audience. It was so funny.
That's really good. That's amazing.
I mean, come on.
This was a blast.
Can we say shout out to Dan Fortune for having the best clients?
Dan Fortune,
publicist extraordinaire.
And this has been so fun, guys.
This is such a good podcast. That was so much fun.
Well,
I mean the whole thing, not just my episode.
Thank you so. We've both been a fan for a long time, and we cannot wait to see you in Torch Song.
Thank you.
And we didn't talk about Bright Colors and Bold Patterns, but it was truly incredible.
Oh, we just closed on Sunday.
I know. And congratulations.
Thank you.
Congrats.
Both. And we filmed it. It's going to be on Broadway HD.
Yes.
Sometime this summer.
And Drew came back and did that.
Yes.
Yeah.
So Jeff closed last week, and then Drew came back and did a week. And we filmed it for Broadway HD on Monday, and it's going to be out sometime this summer.
It's so great to see two, I'm telling you, nightmares.
Nasty people.
Just nasty, not nice, the talent, whatever.
Yeah.
But no, two glorious, gorgeous. I know, and you had to direct them, the egos.
The ledges I talked them off of.
Unbelievable.
Michael, thank you so much.
We're going to do this. All right, so this is Last Culture Reassess. You guys, we're going to be out in Los Angeles, and we're doing a show on June 12th at Echoplex.
I thought of someone you remind me of.
Wait, what?
Your essence.
Me?
Yes.
Who?
And you kind of look like him. His name is Colin Ficus. He's this friend of mine who is very funny, very adorable.
Oh my God. And
one of my favorite people.
We're going to look up Ms. Ficus.
And that feels like a compliment. So thank you, Michael.
I think it was a deep compliment.
Deep compliment. Yes. Absolutely. We're in LA.
We're in LA on the 12th, honey. We're in San Francisco doing Clusterfest on June 2nd.
And we'll be at VultureFest May 20th, I believe.
We'll announce everything coming up soon. Lots of really fun stuff coming up, you guys.
It's so, so fun.
Love you.
So thank you so much to Michael Urie. Let's close out with a song.
Yeah.
So now I come to you. Yeah, it's too high.
Super tenor. I'm so sick.
Gorgeous.
Bye.
Bye.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production.
executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.